Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
On Urban Watch, welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we cast a long shadow coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight of imagination, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour comes from Jacksonville. I have the claim to fame of talking more about the Jaguars than anyone else that works at this company. I am obsessed. I admit it. And we have a philosophy on the show. Every day we start fresh. We wash our hands and we scrub a dub dub and we start new. And we have the mantra of going where the interesting story of the day takes us. And yet again, here we are circling back down to Jacksonville and Urban Meyer is in the middle of the frying pan. Now, if you've not been watching the NFL, why are you listening to the show? But if you have missed it, Jacksonville has not only been a football team, they have been a smoldering pile of turds to start the year, non-competitive against the Texans and for the most part against the Broncos, outscored 60-34. That minus 26 point differential is the third worst, tied for the third worst in the NFL behind Atlanta, who's at the very bottom, and Miami, who actually won a game against the Patriots thanks to some generosity from New England and then came back and took a ride on the Vomit Comet last week against the Buffalo Bills. So where am I going with this? What's the latest on Urban Meyer, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. This involves Vic Fangio, who has entered the chat. Now, Vic Fangio is a coach in Denver. He's not the coach of Jacksonville. He just played Jacksonville. His team did. Did you hear what Uncle Vic had to say about Urban Meyer? Well, maybe not. I hope you missed it. If you missed it, you're gonna like it. If you heard it, you'll hear it again. So Vic Fangio relaying a conversation to the assembled media in the Mile High City there, and he talked about the conversation that he had with someone he didn't really know that well at all, Urban Meyer, as Warner Wolf would say. Let's go to the audio tape.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, shook his hand before the game and after the game, and his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. That's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
Oh, my God, he said it! He said it! Oh, my God, holy crap, Urban Meyer said it. Oh!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer! So, just if you missed it, his comment to me, this is Vic Fangio, his comment to me was, every week is like playing Alabama in the NFL. And he said, that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league. That was the quote. So let us discuss the question. As you might imagine, this has started a reactionary situation where people freaking out. I can't believe he said it. So the question, is this Urban Meyer comment to Vic Fangio a sign that he is in over his head with the Jaguars? So I am shaking my head. No. Angrily no. My thoughts on this. You've got Bullwinkle, Weaponized, and I Love Lucy. And we'll tie all of these things together. Now, listen, I have no problem with the comment that has been attributed to Urban Meyer from Vic Fangio. The way I look at this, it's very simple. This is some pregame bullcrap. They're out schmoozing, small talk. All right, coach with coach, the fraternal order of football coaches. And it didn't sound to me, everyone interprets things differently, it didn't sound to me like that was Urban throwing out disdain for coaching in the NFL. It sounded to me like Urban Meyer was showing respect to a fellow coach, right? Giving a compliment, a Bullwinkle badge, if you will, buttering biscuits to the fellow coach. Urban is the new kid on the block. He's the newbie. Newbie in the NFL world. And so he was just being polite, showing, as we said, the R word, respect, to a grizzled, wise, old coach, Vic Fangio, who has been coaching in the league since Ronald Reagan was the president. Vic Fangio bounced around football, got a job with, I believe it was the Jim Mora Saints, if I'm not mistaken, in the mid-80s, and started as an assistant in New Orleans there and has been in the NFL for the most part ever since. So no harm, no foul. Every team is like Alabama, is the quote attributed to Urban Meyer, and that was, again, praising the NFL, the quality of the NFL, and at the same time taking a shot, a backhanded shot at his own team in Jacksonville, who at this point is the same quality of Bishop Sycamore High School right there. Now, part B of this, the thing about this story that caught my attention and my sonar started going beep, 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 just like that. The thing that caught my attention was that this is a rather benign comment. Some would even go as far as to say a throwaway line that has been weaponized, right? Weaponized disinformation. Urban Meyer is under siege. He's under siege. Now, I'm not going to call him a victim. I don't believe he's a victim. He makes a lot of money, but he is a target, and Meyer has recruited some very unsavory characters in his college career. And the book on Urban Meyer is pretty simple. He would have signed Dr. Strangelove if Dr. Strangelove ran fast enough in the 40-yard dash. Many are openly cheering for Urban Meyer to fail and to cry uncle. That's what they want. Run back to your little happy place in the college game. But in the NFL world, he is the interloper. We continue to say this over and over again. Will anyone listen? So everything that can be used will be used to undermine Urban's credibility. It is all fair game, all of it. What they want here is a crash and burn situation. And Urban, is he going to give it to him? I'm still in the camp that's not the case. But Urban did his due diligence. He sat out for a period of time from Ohio State. He was offered numerous college football jobs. He was doing television at Fox. He knew that he was headed to the wrong side of the tracks, to a rundown outhouse of a franchise. So I'm not buying that he underestimated the job. He met with a bunch of NFL coaches. He was around that world as much as you can be as an outsider. And if the Jags job was good, this is the argument here. If the Jags job was a good job, it would not have been open. The reason the job was available, because the team blew. They were the worst team in football last year. They had the number one pick, and it's just a revolving door. But it's like, as the old movie line goes, fasten your seatbelts. It is going to be a bumpy ride. And it's been a bumpy ride. But I expected Urban to have a team that would be competitive by the end of the year, a team that would flirt with wild card contention. Clearly, it looks like that is not going to happen, but it's, you know, Jacksonville was not built in a day. Urban, you got to do this brick by brick, inch by inch. The key thing here, and this is, if you're looking for an indicator of whether or not there is any kind of longevity, stick-to-itness, gumption for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, there has to be progress. There has to be. If there is not progress, then all bets are off. And so far, there hasn't been. But the Jags have to take baby steps. They have to actually be competitive. Maybe occasionally get the ball in the red zone. They didn't even have a play run in the red zone the last game against that Broncos defense. All right, last word here. So, where are we at right now? Here's where we are. We've got Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, who are living in an old classic episode of The I Love Lucy franchise, the chocolate scene, one of the great scenes in entertainment. It's old. It's on YouTube if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's old TV show, I Love Lucy. And that's the metaphor. To me, that's the perfect metaphor that Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer are in a scene from the old TV show, I Love Lucy. They have switched roles. They're no longer in college football. They have been given the job of wrapping chocolates, delicious chocolates, except too many chocolates are coming out of the conveyor belt. They can't keep up, and hilarity has ensued. Except the only ones chuckling are the rest of the NFL, acting like Nelson from The Simpsons, using that mocking laugh, pointing the finger and going, ha ha, just like that. At some moment, things are going to slow down.
Ha ha!
That was the sound of the NFL. But at some moment, things are going to slow down. Trevor Lawrence is going to figure things out. Now, he might not be great, but he can't be this bad. And Urban Meyer will get a grip on the gig. I don't think he took stupid pills overnight. But this is an inferior roster playing second-rate football. They're playing at their talent level. And I expect more from Urban Meyer. I do. You got to coach better. You got to scheme better. Coach these guys up. Whatever it takes, dumb down the playbook. Do something. There are things that can be done. If you're trying and working through it, it's trial and error. Whatever they're trying right now is an error. So try something else. But I want to circle back to Vic Fangio spilling the beans. Okay, so that inspired this Mallard monologue, and we thank Uncle Vic for that. The Broncos are playing well. We do not believe that Fangio said that to bury Urban Meyer. I don't buy it. Some are saying that. I don't buy it. That's not how I interpreted the quote. He quoted Urban Meyer to prop up his team. Right? That was an intentional quote that Fangio used to say, hey, we're 2-0, and people are ripping the Broncos because they played the host of schedule, right? They played a bunch of nobodies. They played the Giants and Jacksonville. Those are bad teams, and Denver's been on easy street. And so Vic Fangio, in his head, the light bulb went off, and he's like, hey, let me just point out, as Urban Meyer said, everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league. See, our record's impressive. So give the Broncos a break, and they got another tomato can lined up this weekend. It's Tomato Can Isle, the Denver Broncos playing the Jets suck this weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Will it be Fields of Touchdowns or not? Well, come in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we go through the motions, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the court of public opinion, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour coming from football. That's right, football, football, football. We talk a lot of football around these parts. And quarterbacks changing around the NFL. The infirmary report coming out. We got Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. I did a rant about him. He needed to play this weekend for the Dolphins. He's not playing. They said they somehow missed a fractured rib, but they found it later on. Okay, so he's out. Dolphins going with their backup. But the story this hour comes from Chicago. Another shoe has dropped in the windy city there. The Chicago Bears announcing that their rookie quarterback, Justin Fields. Everyone up in arms that Fields was not starting to begin the year. Well, didn't take more than a few weeks for him to take over as the quarterback there. This because of injury, as he has been named the starting quarterback for the Bears for this weekend's game in Cleveland. Now, Andy Dalton dinged up. Fields was gushing. He addressed the media in a very awkward, is the word I will use, news conference. More on that in a minute. But here is Justin Fields, a little sliver of it. And he was asked about confidence when speaking with reporters. If you didn't hear what he said, maybe you missed it. Justin Fields is gung-ho, ready to go.
How ready are you for this stage and this opportunity?
I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time, so my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just get a lot of practice reps in and just study, and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays.
All right, so this is what's known as the money quote. That's not a great quote, but by our standards for this, for the purposes of this monologue, it's a money quote. So the key part of that, I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time. And he talked about his mindset not changing and study. All right, so let us discuss. The question here, are you going to go thumbs up or thumbs down to Justin Fields being ready to have success? Right? Is he as ready as he thinks he is to be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears? So thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs down. I'm going thumbs down. Now, my observations, you've got Puppy Dog, Mike Tyson, and Daily Double. And we will lock all of these things together, and those will be the basics of this Maller monologue, which will frighten the hell out of you, unless it doesn't. Now, number one. So Justin Fields, I watched the news conference. He was peppered with questions. The heartfelt Chicago media working to craft his legend and the mythology like a lumberjack here to save the Bears. He's the savior, Mr. Fields. We watched the back and forth with reporters. It was awkward and at times obnoxious. The whole thing was gushing worship. It was a gushing worship service from the Bears media. They acted, many of them, like a bunch of starry-eyed, very average teenage girls who have a childlike crush on a rock star. It was cringeworthy, right? The fun-o-rama with softball questions. It was Lob City. Lob it up. And they were just trying to get quotes. I got the sense that the people interviewing Justin Fields had already written the story weeks ago, if not months ago, about him taking over as the starter, and they just needed a quote to put in there, to cut and paste into the story. And they were giving him, it sounded like puppy dog eyes, that they, you know, the lovey eyes. It's a celebration, jubilation. This is a joyful occasion. So the Bears are selling, and they're useful idiots in the media, are selling an upscale future. Right? Things are looking up. And we are on the cusp of a coronation situation. Now, here's how I would grade Fields in the news conference. He was meticulous. He was calculated. It was as if he had watched an old baseball movie with Kevin Costner from back in the day there, and he was listening very intently as Kevin Costner's character, Crash Davis, advised Nuke LaLoosh. And the famous quote there, just trying to help the ball club. Give it my best shot, and the good Lord willing, things will work out. It was cliches, buzzwords, and catchphrases. But let's roll up our sleeves here and get down to the nitty-gritty. Justin Fields absolutely should be the Bears quarterback. We endorse the move. We said it weeks ago. We were not in the minority. We were in the majority on that. Now, that being said, just because I believe Justin Fields should play does not mean in any way that he is ready to succeed. This is going to be an ulcer-inducing performance. It is going to take Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Brown offense turning the ball over multiple times for the Bears to have a shot to win this game. It's hard to imagine Chicago walking out of Cleveland and having a big smile and having a happy ending to the first start. So, Fields, a lot of cliches, as I said, a lot of normal boilerplate responses, but he really had no choice. Imagine the headlines had Justin Fields come out and said, you know, I'm not really ready. I'm not prepared. Godzookery would have taken place. It would have erupted. It's a different animal, though, to walk the walk. You can talk the talk, to walk the walk. And his comments sounded very reminiscent to comments that in the past we've been sitting in this very chair into these microphones talking about Johnny Manziel or even last year Tua Tagovailoa, among other quarterbacks. Every hot shot, blue chip, five-star recruit, every one of them are groomed at these quarterback academies. And from the time they're in junior high school, hand-selected prodigies. And part of that is not only the 7-on-7, but they also coach you up on how to deal with the media. So you get a lot of these guys who all sound the same because they all went to the same quarterback academy and they all had the same media consultants, the spin doctors telling them how to answer questions. And so what you get is this watered-down, blah generation of quarterbacks dealing with the media. Now, if you want to know what's going to happen here, you are more likely to get what Trevor Lawrence has done in Jacksonville or Zach Wilson has done with the Jets. It's the great guru, Mike Tyson, Michael Tyson, who summed up what's about to happen to Justin Fields years ago. And his famous quote, which has had legs all these years later, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And you can study, study, study until, bam, right in the jaw, right? And you flunk the test. But it's got to happen. You've got to get these out of the way. You start the young quarterback to get the stank out of the way until they figure it out. If they don't figure it out after a certain number of games, a finite number of games, then you know this particular player doesn't have it. And then you move on and get somebody else. All right, final point. So Matt Nagy made sure to reiterate that even though Justin Fields is starting, Andy Dalton would be getting the starting job back when his body heals up. We talked about this in a previous episode of the show. Now, he reiterated that comment, as we said. Again, people are losing their minds over this. Yeah, you have to respect the pig-headed nature of Coach Nagy in Chicago, right? It's not brain surgery. This is actually, I thought about this. I had my own eureka moment. This is the Daily Double. This is the Chicago Bears saying Daily Double, Daily Double, Daily Double. Right? Now, why is this the Daily Double? Because you accomplish two things the Bears want to accomplish. You stick to your game plan. The Bears brass, they did not want to start Justin Fields at the beginning of the year. They haven't done that. They would rather not play him now, but they have no choice. And so Matt Nagy's also, the second leg of this, he's in his head, he's taking the pressure off Justin Fields by announcing that Andy Dalton will return as the starter. And so this is just a measly run-through. Now, nobody is buying what the Bears are selling. The ball is squarely in Justin Fields' court. And the opportunity is a knocking at the front door. Justin Fields goes Kurt Warner, greatest show on turf, and we have a much different outcome. Do I anticipate we will get that? No. But if Fields is just incredible, see what I did there? Just incredible, and kills the dry run, then Andy Dalton will be collecting cobwebs on the sidelines, but I wouldn't bet on it. Not against the Browns, not this weekend. Now, Justin Fields got a taste of the NFL against the Cincinnati Bengals last weekend, and I was watching this game. I had a financial interest in the outcome of the game, and I saw a player that was in over his head. And the Bears fans, delusional, saying he looked good. He didn't look good. He sucked. He was very raw, unfiltered against the pretty mediocre Bengals defense. I saw some wobbly passes. I saw some bad ball security from Justin Fields, deer in the headlights on some plays. Now, there were also a couple plays that the Bears receivers did not help him out. But unmodified, that is a recipe for failure, right? The Bears play the Lions at Soldier Field next week. That is a much more desirable spot for the Bears to put Justin Fields out there. So even if he goes out there and stinks and Andy Dalton's better, you got to think they give Justin Fields the opportunity because it's hard to look bad. It's hard to look bad against Detroit. You can go out there blindfolded with one arm tied behind your back and you're not going to collapse. In fact, you'll probably come out of that with a ton of confidence because of how bad the Lions are. So if Fields can survive and not be injured this weekend, that's a nice soft landing spot next week, the week after here against the Detroit Lions. And keep in mind, the quarterback who is going to be on the bench waiting to come in if Justin Fields does get dinged up in his first NFL start, the hero of Philadelphia coming in off the waterfront. That's right, Nick Foles. He's waiting. Hello, I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
Robert Griffin III admitted on Tuesday that he would like to keep playing and he would be open to a return to Washington. He also said that he believes he and Cam Newton are the best available vets. Ben, do you think RG3 is going to get another shot?
No way, Jose. RG3 is not walking back through that door. He is a symbol of the biggest failure of Dan Snyder's tenure in Washington. They traded all those first-round draft picks. They got their franchise quarterback, and it turned out to be a dark chapter as he got injured and collapsed there. So, and he's also antiquated at this point. Why would you want him? He's a running quarterback who can't throw. Forget about it. The wheels fell off. Next.
Since 1990, when the playoffs expanded to 12 teams, only 11% of the teams that started 0-2 went on to make the playoffs. Ben, which 0-2 team do you think has the best chance of turning it around and making the postseason?
Well, the easy answer is to say none of the above, but I will engage your question. And the math on this is a little messed up because now the NFL's added an extra game. So does that make it harder or easier to make the playoffs if you're an 0-2 team? But the answer here, scanning the field and the landscape, is the Minnesota Vikings. 0-2, they lost in overtime. Dalvin Cook fumble. Gave the game to the Bengals. Lost to the Arizona. They had the game won. Greg Joseph shanked a kick that a professional kicker should not shank. So that's the team. That's the only team. The other ones are destined to suck all year. Next!
Isaiah Thomas made a post on social media that said that the Brooklyn Nets cannot win a championship without Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant actually commented on the post saying, "Facts." Well, Ben, is that facts?
No, they almost won a championship without him last year, right? You can play James Harden got injured, but the Nets were Kevin Durant, who went bonkers in that game against Milwaukee. They almost beat Milwaukee as it was without Kyrie. I mean, they have too many ball-dominant players on that team. I'm not a Kyrie fan. He's a talented guy. It's not like he led the Boston Celtics, though, to a championship. It's going to be about Durant. How do we do? Quickly!
You pass.
There it is. That's a winner. That's a winner.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's now time for.
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter.
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers. We will wax and wane in the microphones of FSR answering the question you've always wanted answered, but we've been unable to do it. And the reader of the questions to begin the festivities here, the Koopa Loop. I would like to tell you that we will have a pick on that game tonight. Why not? Next hour, Benny versus the Penny, the Thursday night game, Carolina and Houston. But right now, over to the Koopa Loop for Ask Ben.
Ben, we're going to start off with a question for you.
All right. Good.
This is from a Bronco fan in Sherman Oaks, California. He wants to know,
is this
the week that you will join the Maller Militia DraftKings contest?
Well, I'm still thinking about it. Tell Justin to mind his own business. How about that? I can't be bothered with that. Come on. How dare you? What's wrong with you?
Well, the week 3 contest is live. There's 35 spots left available.
35? So. That's a lot of spots. We got to fill that up.
Oh, I mean, it's only Thursday. It'll fill.
Look how cocky you are. You're like a peacock.
Hey, everybody's all about it, Ben. You got to join the fun.
Yeah, come on. Let me skirt.
Roberto plays.
Yeah.
Puro Pinches Raiders?
That's right. Puro Pinches Raiders.
Okay. I didn't know if I could say that on the radio. If that was,
I don't
know
what I'm saying. It's his birthday.
All right.
You can say that.
This next question, it says it's for Ben and Coop, but really it's just for me.
All right.
He wants to know if I've ever answered my personal phone saying Fox Sports Radio or Ben Maller Show. He says for you and me, but I mean, you don't.
No, what, I don't. Do
yeah, what, yeah. No, but no. No, that's literally never happened to me.
Really? That surprises me.
Really?
Yeah, I had a job after high school where I worked for a newspaper, and I had to basically, it was like the complaint line, and there were times I would answer my home phone.
Well, see, I think that's the reason why, because like I don't have like a landline, so it's not really like the same kind of ringtone, you know.
Yeah,
my phone just vibrates, and so
okay,
I don't know.
That's legit, I guess.
Yeah, but let's see. Let's go with this next question from Milkman Mike. He wants to know from the crew.
Hi, Milkman.
It's a kind of either or question. What is your favorite horror movie, or what movie scared you the most as a kid?
Oh man, when I was a kid, I was scared by a lot of crap. Like when I was little. You know, the gremlins actually messed me up. I was like, these cute little things. And all of a sudden, Eddie?
My favorite horror movie is The Shining. And I will admit, I'm not a big horror movie fan.
No, I'm not either.
When I was a kid, for some reason, Children of the Corn scared the hell out of me.
Malachi!
Calm down. When I was a kid, it was like Friday the 13th. That franchise was big. That was a big deal, Friday the 13th. Freddy Krueger. That was big. But anyway, I was scared by pretty much anything when I was a little kid. What about you, Roberto?
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street. Freddy Krueger scared the crap out of me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. All right.
And The Exorcist. I haven't seen that movie, really.
I don't usually watch horror movies. What about you, Kuvaloop?
You scared or what?
I don't know if it's considered a horror movie, or if it's just like a thriller. But my favorite, I would say like Silence of the Lambs. And as far as the one that scared me the most, I'd have to go with Cujo.
Never saw it.
It's a like dog with rabies. It was terrifying. Yeah. All the ones that like could actually happen that were like realistic, like A Stranger Calls, those are the ones that scared me.
I got you. All right, why don't we pause for the cause? We'll have more of this outstanding, magnificent content. I know you're impressed, unless you're not. We'll bring the balloon, the cakes, the confetti for Roberto because it's his birthday. And Ask Ben will continue from the honky tonk. We'll get to it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And more of this riveting content you've been dying for. Cozy up to the radio or whatever device you're listening to hear the show. It is Ask Ben. Back over to Coop Da Loop we go.
All right, Ben, this next question is from Sharknado Alert, JD in Boston.
Yeah.
He wants to know, did you ever collect anything in your youth? Do you collect anything now?
Yes, JD, I did. I was convinced that I would become a gazillionaire on the strength of baseball cards. And then briefly, they had the, what were those cards? Eddie, you might remember this. You're a little older than me. Remember those Garbage Pail Kid card things?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I had some of those too. Yeah. And I didn't make
What was
my
the
money.
Ben one that they had? They had Evil Eddie, I remember, was one of them. Do they have a Ben one?
Yeah, they did. I don't remember, though. I have to look it up. What about you? What did you collect, Eddie?
Oh, baseball, football cards. When I was a kid, like Star Wars action figures.
We made the mistake. My parents bought those toys were relatively cheap when they came out. Now they're ridiculous, but we played with them all, which was a mistake. We didn't collect them.
I've always been that way, though. I've never understood like buying something and then leaving it in a box and sticking
the box.
It on a shelf. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Yeah. And I've learned as you know, life events, Eddie. It ends up just going to a landfill when you're. So you might as well enjoy it. What about you, Roberto?
Yeah, baseball, basketball cards. And I got older, would go to like the movies to Best Buy and buy movies like every Tuesday when they came out. It was one of the dumb decisions I ever made in my life. I just have a bunch of movies laying around everywhere.
Yeah.
Dumb.
That's not. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I looked it up, Eddie. It's the Garbage Pail Kid was Bent Ben. Kind of looks like me too. It does look like me. They also had Burger Ben, which also look kind of looks like me a little bit. So yeah, very similar. What about you, Coop?
As a kid, I collected a lot of stuff. I had the Elvis memorabilia collection, collected Pokemon cards, collected Beanie Babies. And with the Beanie Babies, I would put them in like one of the clear like boxes, collector boxes. But we would still play with them, but inside the boxes. So we pretend it was like all futuristic, and the box was like their hovercraft like vehicle.
Oh my God!
That's how we got around that. Now
using your imagination.
Now I have started a small tool poster collection.
How small?
I have two so far, but they're expensive. So
okay,
yep.
So if anyone wants to hook Coop up, you'd be happy with that, right? You'd be pleased.
Yeah, I mean that'd be awesome, but you know they're tough to get. They're tough to get too.
Okay. All right, what is next here? What do we have?
Alf the Alien Opiner.
Hi, Alf.
Wants to know. have you ever misjudged a fart only to pay the price later?
Oh, of course. Come on. We've all done that. You know, you don't expect a wet one. It becomes a wet one, and then you know, it just gets all over the place, and it happens. It's disgusting. And you think after a certain period of time, you kind of have an idea what's coming out. But every once in a while, you get a curveball. Backdoor slider. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, I definitely have had that happen to me before, and there are a lot of times where you know I'll not be sure.
Did you feel the drip?
No, I don't know about that, but there'll be times when I'm not sure what's going on, and so to be cautious, I'll take a seat, and then you know it's just the gas, but you can't take chances with
that. Well,
no,
the problem is when you're walking, Eddie, and you let one rip, and it turns out to be that way, and then you can't sit down after that because you got to then go to the bathroom. So
that has not happened often.
You feel the drip, and then you kind of like close your butt cheeks. Okay. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's not good.
Breach of etiquette there, Coop.
So like I'd always wondered like how does this happen to people? It's crazy. But like I don't know, maybe about 5 years ago now, four or five years ago, it happened to me for the first and only time.
You're growing up, Coop.
It was bad.
Yeah. It's never
luckily
good.
I was at home.
Oh, that's good.